Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SFP Online, Bedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us with Talkcast every Thursday starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com, search for Call ID 17702. Or SFU on call, or Starfleet Universe on call, and you should find us there. Also, if you want the best online experience, just go to twitch.tv, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. And of course, if you want to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it this week, you can. I have a couple accounts there, a few. And that would be, of course, Starfleet, SFU on call. Spelled just like the Gmail address. And also, my personal account, Paul France, PAULFRANZ. There's no T in that. And also, my business account, which is France Games, FRANZGAMES. Again, there's no T in that. And of course, the lovely podcast gets turned on podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB. Theopatric is still working on NASA Starship book for the Orion. So hopefully we'll get that out soon, or at least we'll see it go to the publisher, the editor, Jean, our lovely Jean. Moving onward and forward to found on the online store this week is The Distant Armada Unity, which is 1695, and there's new factions meet as the Armada joins the SFU in the Starfleet universe. Distant Armada Unity was done by joint venture of ADB and also Majestic 12 Games. This 84-page rulebook includes Lyrans, allies of the Klingons, the Hydrans, how many parts did they just launch? The Winds, safely behind a shield of intense energy, and the Lyran Democratic Republic, which is a breakaway county of the Lyrans. There are 50 ships, over 50 starships, with 5 new weapons, including fusion beams, teleport cannons, the expanding sphere generator, the Sting fighter, interesting they now call that a weapon, it's a fighter, and a Gatling phaser. Want to pass through the wind radiation zone if you dare. And of course, just a reminder that this book is an expansion which requires that you have either the Klingon Armada Unity or Romulan Armada Unity to have the full rules that are needed to play the game. Also, it is recommended, and I definitely highly recommend getting the Star Armada Unity rulebook, the core rulebook that will allow you then to create also your own games. You can design your own weapons and so forth. And it's really a fun thing to do if you're into creating your own games. And of course, moving on to the SFU Online tournaments, when it comes to the Sapphire Star 16 tournament, well, I hate to say this, but Steve McCann was defeated by Jeff Clark. They played a game over 8 turns, and it's ended with Steve McCann conceding after he realized that he didn't have enough power to go very fast, only like speed 26, and the Romulan launching an enveloping ass torpedo, which would have completely wiped out the winds because of the number down shields. So the finals is Mad Jack, who is, of course, Jack Taylor, flying in the Gorn versus Spartan, which is Jeff Clark, flying in the Romulan Firehawk. So we'll have to see how that goes. It's already gone to, I think, past turn 6. They had a very, very quick summary. We might actually discuss it just for a tiny bit in the podcast a little later tonight. Moving on forward to the library, when it comes to SFU Online Library, we actually have a few updates. When it comes to that I need to post. I apologize for not getting around to those. And also, there's going to be a couple new ones in the Federation Commander Library, which I also need to post this week. There were completely done. And obviously, a reminder that if there's any ship that you find that we are missing in Federation Commander, please tell me so I can talk to Chris Newsy, who's been doing all those. And Chris Newsy then will contact Steve Cole about getting the background images so we can actually create those beautiful ship definitions so you can play those ships on the online client. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one and all Paul Finley, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And me. Actually, Dave's here too. I'd say wave, Dave, but I don't think anyone can see wave. So, anyhow, let me just get things started here. And, I almost forgot. I gotta turn down the volume for my Twitch monitor over here. Over there. So, what I'm gonna do, start off this night, is something relatively quick. For those, if you're listening to this in post-production, then, yeah, you already know this. And that is Steve McCann lost to Jeff Clark. The final coup de grace was a developer S launched by Jeff at Steve, and Steve realizing that he was not going to have enough power to go fast enough to run it out. You know, he only had a max possible speed of speed 26 versus 32, and he figured he was going to be dead. Let me just look at something real quick. Dun-da-da. I was checking. I don't see anything mentioned. I want to know when it comes to what was the shield status at that moment in time of the game. I'm assuming it was pretty bad given that Steve McCann conceded, because I know it was pretty bad as it stood when we left off our Intrepid competitors. So what we're going to do is I'm going to switch, and this should be here. No, actually, wrong one. That one. Hit the wrong hotkey. And I'm just bringing up the browser real quick. And that is, of course, that Mad Jack, that's Jack Taylor, is playing the final round against Spartan, i.e. Jeff Clark. This is a very quick summary for the six turns of play. And the funny part is, I read the turn one, and it just made me laugh, which is Jack Taylor launched an enveloper. Oh, I forgot to mention. This is Gorn versus the Romulan Firehawk. The Gorn launches an enveloper on turn one. And what does Jeff do in the Romulan Firehawk? Dun, dun, dun. Two S's. But this time, from what came up to being, actually, there were two real ones instead of
surprise.
One pseudo and one real.
Surprise.
Yeah, I know. So I do a little something differently, except for that he actually launched regular torpedoes. Both launched late. We fired at both phaser four with light damage. So basically, that's how he knew that there were real torpedoes that let him hit him. Okay. Actually, this thing, we both launched late in the turn and we both fired four phaser ones for light damage. I'm assuming I did start Twitch, Dave. I know I started Twitch because I see it over there.
I see you on Twitch.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Dave, check.
Corner of
and yeah. if, and I'm No, I'm not gonna check that at the moment. Because the sound should be good. If it's not showing up there, please tell me. Okay, cool. You saw it now. Okay, turn two. We both ran out. Torps, turn towards the center. Also, turn three. He launched the two real Fs that he had and bolted two fast load Ss and did nine internals. That's Jeff did nine internals on the Gorn. Internals were a fluff and one phaser three. The real Fs were run out for nothing. Okay. And the Gorn bolted an S and F plus phasers for three internals, including a warp and a phaser three. That's pretty good. Through the shield number one of the Firehawk. That's always good to see. Because that's what you want, so they can't face you. Though the thing is, with the Firehawk, the S's are at front half, so they can be launched out of shield number six or shield number two. The Gorn also launched an F that did 15 on shield number four. Oh, it landed! Wow. And the Gorn also had more phasers, so managed 14 more damage against shield number six. Ooh, that's good. Both headed this turn. Wow, there goes the hit bonus for both of them. We end up at the turn range four. Whoa, both breathing heavy. It was hectic. Upcoming turn four, it's the only one torp between us. Yep, that makes sense. Shield damage is adding up, and Gorn four is down. Okay, that's where the Romulan. I'm looking. Well, the bolt of the two fast load S's. That's what it was. Okay. And then on turn four, the Romulan cloaked in wild weasels, and the Gorn shot through the shift, which makes sense because of range four, and did about shield 10 points of shield number down and sped up. Very well and cloaked. Okay, so I'm assuming that the extra 10 points of shield damage was not against the Firehawks number six because they headed late in turn four. Turn five, the Firehawks stayed cloaked. Big surprise because of. He won't have any torpedoes until turn six. I was able to come. He was able to maneuver and was down. Oh, yeah, Gorn was able to maneuver to the shell number one for 15 internals with some good shit. Whoa, that means he. Okay, one thing that was not mentioned, but it seems like I would think it would be obvious at this point, is that the Gorn was able to retain lock on. You still have to do some. Fight through the cloak, so it does have some effect, but it's not like if you lose lock on where basically you're not going to fire unless you're range zero, because that's when because the double the range is zero, so you just have the plus five to range. Two and that when the Gorn fired right down the gullet to shield number one. Got knocked out. Two powered, two phaser one phaser three, an F torp, and some other minor other stuff. In turn six, he came out of cloak, launched a real S at him to really discourage pursuit on my down number four. Okay, he launched a real S at him. So the Gorn launched an S at the Romulan to discourage the pursuit at the Gorn's down number four. He only has one front shield left. I'm assuming that shield number six is gone. So I would think. So that was really all I was really looking for the to turn his good shields away from me, which he did. He didn't outrun the torp or me, and the torp hit. For five, for 10, and I put another 10 on the phasers at range 8. His shields are wrecked. He's up against the map edge. Oh, geez. With the good shields facing the wrong way, which means they're facing towards the map edge. His shields are, big surprise, shield number 1, 0. Shield number 2, 26. Shield number 3, the full 24. Shield number 4, at 10. And shield number 5, 4 points of shield. And shield number 6, which is number 1. Gorn's box, number 4 is at 1 box. They've obviously got repaired, and which isn't good, but all the rest of the shields are solid. And the Gorn has an S and 2 Fs available, and the Romulan has 2 Ss and an F available if they're all armed, you know, and I would think that would actually be the case. And that's where they stopped, and they mentioned that they may continue on Tuesday morning / Monday evening, Tuesday morning, which is Tokyo time, and Monday evening, let me get that right, yeah, to be Tuesday morning, Tokyo time, Monday evening, their time, which would be the 8th. Yeah, the 8th of April. So.
Yeah, pictures of the SSD?
No, we don't have an SSD. I wasn't watching. I'm just reading this off the discussion board.
Okay. Just curious.
And they didn't. And of course, big surprise, they didn't post it anywhere because they. I'm not sure where they would post it, to be honest. They might, Imgur? There's some places where you can post images, you know, ideas that get people, you know, put advertising around it so that you can earn money that way. But they didn't post any images anywhere.
Did they put it on their OnlyFans?
Well, yeah, in theory, yeah, like they could. But they didn't. No one posted any images of the SSDs. So far, I'm the only person who's done that.
Okay.
But you know, I was willing to do that. Obviously, if people want to, they can. I'm willing to bet the dollars, the donuts, that if they play Monday evening. My time, it'd probably be 5 p.m. Eastern because that's where that is what they played on Tuesday because it mentioned in the first post, which was done on Tuesday, 12 a.m. in the morning, my time. They posted again Tuesday evening that it was posted, which was for, it said, resuming tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. So that's when I played Jeff, which is 5 p.m. Eastern. So Dollars to Donuts says that will be the ship. Oh, sorry, that'll be the time that they'll meet up for another game or another session. Sorry. So if I'm lucky, I might be able to log in and watch it for a little bit, which actually reminds me, that's one thing I've been working on this past week that I didn't announce in the news portion, but I'm just gonna mention here that I worked on a little utility, which what it does is slices and dices the log file, so that now this is my hope at the moment. I'm not worried about the SSD. What I want to do at the moment is just produce what's an old play-by-email report, these are the internals that we're taking. I'm at the moment, I can't really think of a way of captioning the die rolls so they're associated with what they are rolled for, because those are completely disconnected in the client. The client itself doesn't say, okay, you know, roll for this one, roll for this one, you know, it's not connected at the moment. That's something, obviously, if I want to have it so that this produces the full output, the full log, and integrated, you know, with a report, I would actually have to do that so there was a way of recognizing and having people tell basically the computer what he's rolling for. Less of telling the person, it's going to be telling the computer. So in a structured so it'd be printed out in a structured format so that we can parse it when we read it, read the log file and say, okay, oh, this is for this. And then that can also be added to the play by email report. You know, I'm not, Doug, did you ever play any play by email?
Oh yeah, years ago.
Okay. So you know how the format looked.
Yeah, and you were the moderator.
That doesn't surprise me. Let me do this first. Let's switch back to that. So I'm not showing my desktop while I do something, which is what I'm going to do is look. I think I have it, but I'm going to check. Bah, bah, bah. No, I don't have it. Let me look. Stuff. Okay, this is source. If I can find it real quick. If I can't, I'll just skip it. Oh, tournaments? Oh, no, this is old. Okay, I thought I might have a copy. I might have it still around, but I don't find it. So. Oh, there they are. Oh, there it is. I can go like this. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show a quick format. Okay, here it is. Okay, cool. Brought it up. So what I'm going to do is now switch this over to that. To show people who don't know what play by email format normally looks like. This is really old and long ago and far away tournament duel. A 0218. This is the end result after turn one. And you know, usually have the players listed, and you have the starting, and usually with I like having the shield information. Not worried about that at the moment, but you have the ship, and you have the hex, and you have the speed. That's at the start, and then you'll have the impulses down here, like a table, with you have each ship. Where it moved, when it moved, and in these columns, so you can see where they moved, and then down here, you've got your impulse activity. You know, in this case, it shows, okay, the Orion didn't double his engines. He announced a speed change on impulse 3 to 13. So he started at 26 and decreased immediately down to 13. And then later on, in impulse 11, he moved to speed 24, which is, I do not know why he did that, but he did.
Got
close enough, range 14 on 23, fired on the Klingon, and it hit. Bump, 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 bump. I'm not sure I'll be able to do PVDs like that I currently have, because, again, it's not built into the client itself to track the PVD pulses. Might be a good feature to add. And then impulse 32, the Klingon fires range 10 to the Orion, rolling a 6, 3, and so forth, doing 6 points of reinforcement by the Orion, and no damage on shield number 3. And there's turn 2. Yeah, this is where it ended, it looks like. 228, I'm not sure if that was... Probably because the game stopped, you know. But the whole idea there, excuse me, kitty, was that the show the formatting where you have the ships or units. In this case, these are shuttles. What? Excuse me. What is it, the goofball? Hi. Yes, I love you too. You know, we're getting weird. And then you have a couple of Klingon drones here, a Klingon shuttle, which I think that was the scatter. Yeah, that's a scatter pack, because I put that little bang, which when the shuttle stopped, it gave up. And that was for impulse number 22. So down here, whoa. No, it was a suicide shuttle on the Orion shuttle 3. Oh, what is it? Is that something I can help you with? Say hello. That's you, goofball. And again, fire and so forth. Klingon did 11 points of shield damage. Can you not do that? Sorry. But actually, hearing my own voice, I can tell that we thwacks the microphone with the tail. You can see it. Okay, kitty. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
But aren't I the star of the show? Says the cat.
Yeah. Well,
it's my microphone.
Wouldn't be a podcast without the local city stopping by and saying hello.
What are you doing in my domain?
Excuse me?
What are you doing in my domain? Yeah, exactly.
Understood. Okay. So I just want to mention that real quick, too. I'm hoping to do, at the very least, be able to produce those reports so that people have a good idea of how they moved. I had another possibility, because currently... What I'm doing is actually I'm taking the log file and then I'm producing structured output. And from that structured output, the idea is I can use it as a generic method, the generic file, because at that point you can use the file to ingest it into something else. For example, the program to create the play by email report, or take that as a input into the client and have it so that it actually will move the ships on the client itself. Again, the big thing is still that I have to work on capturing the damage. I can do that. I just got to figure out how to make it so that it's kind of summarized to a certain degree. Not sure if I have to. I'll just have it so that it lists out each individual hit for like a single line or a multi-line. The idea being that at least we'll get it into a single activity, and given that, have it so that you can then add it to an actual activity report. Okay. So, moving onward and forward, we should move on to the next monster. Okay, so make sure we still have time. I'll just let people know we're having a little mild technical difficulty. So if this week the recording sounds a little weird, a little different, that's why. I just upgraded and I did not test it beforehand and make sure everything worked according to the way it's supposed to work. So I had to, a little behind the scenes, I actually had to re-record the news portion because of the sound for the microphone. It's way too low. And I really did not feel like taking iMovie, exporting the sound, modifying it with another sound program, and then re-importing, when I could just spend, an additional 5 minutes to re-record because it's so short, Okay, moving on forward. This week's monster is Star Swarm. Because these are little buggers. As mentioned here in the description, right here for those watching on the screen, that they're mentioning, there were many places in the galaxy where the war machines of the former empires still remain active. One of the most annoying threats are the robots known as Star Swarm. They are compact and miniature killers with very advanced technology and a programming system that commands them to reproduce. They do this by landing on a planet or mining enough material to make more Star Swarm robots. Unfortunately, the mining process wreaks havoc on most planetary ecologies. Following the reproduction, they escape the planet's surface into deep space, spending some time before descending to mine another planet. And this is mentioned that swarms are most common in the Federation. The Klingon, it is speculated, they originated in some of the old King's experiments with von Neumann machines. Of course, that brings up the question, because these are the kind of machines that you create and just let go in enemy territory. So who were they fighting? Or was this one of those last ditch efforts to kill everything? We're dying, and I'm assuming the old king.
We're taking old king's you with us.
What was that?
Yeah. We're taking you guys with us.
Yeah, we're taking you guys with us. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It reminds me, a lot of these guys and some similar other monsters remind me of Fred Saberhagen's Berserker series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, automated killing machine left over.
Yep. What's
Only
the one
this is
from
a
Steve
more organized
Jackson?
that's self-replicating.
I forget that one Steve Jackson game where you're fighting basically just a
Ogre.
mindless monster.
Ogre.
Ogre, thank you.
And actually, it's a autonomous tank. It's a humongous autonomous tank. And you have like basically battleship on land sized tank.
I played it. Actually, I played it once. There was that one guy who that would come to games.
Ryan. And if you could get him, I'll talk to him, see if he'll bring it out. That looks fun.
It was fun. I played it once, and I beat the ogre.
I don't want to sound like a total
Obviously,
heretic, but I'm not sure if I ever got to play that.
yeah.
If I did play it, I forgot.
Oh,
It was so
understood. I was gonna say obviously, it was a demo, so having me win is a good thing. That's what you do with demos. You play the idiot, and you let the newbie win. So they go, yeah, I beat it. I beat the, oops, sorry. I beat the monster, you know. Okay, the number of stars
Well,
from
I think
robots is
if
determined
I
by the.
remember correctly, the monster in that isn't actually a monster, it's a crude thing, so. I could be wrong, it could be totally autonomous too. I forget.
I don't know. I could sworn it was autonomous.
It could also just be set up for solo play.
Right. Understood. The number in
But
this
this
scenario.
monster, this monster is very much like the Saberhagen Berserker series, where because in the beginning of it, it's like you're fighting one big thing, and then later on in the series, it's like fleets of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, because the scenario is a small auxiliary carrier with fighters, basically. And yeah, the Star Swarm robots are played by a player, so this is not a scenario, a solo scenario. And there, let me look at this. Chris Warner, I saw drama is mentioned. No, they don't. I don't think you can play it with the Andromeda. They mentioned what fighters you should use available, like the Federation F4 is later replaced by F-16s, Klingons Z-2s replaced by ZVs, Romulans Gladiator Fs. Zinni AAS, attack shuttles, and SAS, I forget what that stands for, and so forth. Do-do-do. Exception. Okay, I'm just looking at this. It says use fighter counters for some other umpire to represent the swarm. Against exception, against the Stinger 2s or fighters that are carrying multi-warheads, use a divisor, a 10. Rather than 15. So basically, ta-da. Okay. So you take the total BPV of the fleet and you divide it by 15 for the number of Star Swarm robots to calculate how big the swarm would be. And but if the fighters that have multi-warhead drones or the Hydrans, then the divisor will be 10 instead of 15, which means there can be more robots. Yeah. Well, they're trying to make it so it's, a balanced scenario
balancing.
to a certain degree. Okay, maneuvers.
They just want to see hydrants die.
Maybe. But I mean, the robots move at a max speed of 15 with a turn mode of 1. They are considered nimble and can hit once per turn only and has no chance of breakdown. They have a size class of 6 and can dogfight with DFR of 4. In all the ways, but they're treated as a fighter, except that they have no crippled status. So basically, they can do everything they can do until you kill them. And the Star Swarm has two phaser threes. They can fling a portion of their reactor fuel at a target. This is treated as a Type D plasma, effective by UCM, and can only be done once every 3 turns by any individual swarm robot. These torpedoes can be bolted or launched. Excuse me, kitty. What are you doing? Hold on. Don't mind me. We have another zitty hanging around. This one is a small zitty. You gonna sit there? There he is. I'll introduce you, Suki. See? See? Rawr.
Oh, this is Zen Kitty.
What are you doing?
Here's Zen, 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 Zen. Here's Zen, 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 Zen.
Just introduce you to our new kitty. Actually, my big kitty stopped by earlier before the podcast started. I call him Schwartz a kitty because he's big. These torpedoes can be bolted or launched. The Star Swarm robots cannot fire direct fire weapons against target beyond the effective range of 8, although they can launch seeking weapons against such targets. So they have a plasma D torpedo, which they can launch every 3 turns, and 2 phaser 3s, so nothing super powerful. The one thing it didn't mention is, I'm sure we'll find out, which is how much damage it takes out of this to kill it. Electronics, what the robots do their advanced technology, ignore all ECM except for natural sources. They have 3 points a built-in ECCM and can identify 2 seeking weapons per turn. The seeking weapons must be within 3 hexes, and the robot must roll 1 to 4 on a single die to succeed the attempt. When it comes to damage, each robot has a 10-point shield, 360, and can repair 1 box per turn. Whoa. No power required. Once the shield is down, any further damage will strike the robot's core. Takes 5 points to destroy. The core damage cannot be repaired during the scenario, and the Star Swarm take damage only from each edge round that strikes them. All other weapons function normally against them, except that Storm Swarm robots cannot be hit by direct fire weapons at effective range of 9 or greater. Non-working system, Star Swarm robots cannot be tractored or aborted. They're not affected by cloaking devices. Wow. But are affected by web. And Star Swarm robots can perform powered landings on a planet using normal procedure. They burrow underground with extreme rapidity and cannot be fired on once they have landed. Yikes. Okay. Just wanted to see. Okay, the planet is basically right in the smack dab in the board. 2215. The carrier is ranked next to it in 2214. Obviously, okay, it's speed zero and just circling the planet, i.e., a mobile base is what it comes down to, because it, in theory, can move it out of the orbit. I don't see anything, any restrictions on that, but yeah, it's just, it says it's going to be going around, it's orbiting the planet, speed zero in orbit, web status 3, 12 fighters appropriate for an auxiliary carry within 3 hexes of a planet, heading at the option, the flat player, fleet player, and speed max, and so forth. So, the idea obviously is making sure the Star Swarm doesn't reach the planet, because of the victory condition are 100% the robots land on the planet, Swarm total victory. The 9% decisive, blah, blah, blah. If no plan, as soon as you get to 25% of the robots land or more between, I'm assuming that it's between 25 and 50, that's a fleet marginal victory, the 10 to 25 fleet tactical, and if no robots land at all, then the fleet decisive victory. Any positive level of victory for the fleet plan is reduced by one if its carrier is crippled, or by two if the carrier is destroyed. Ooh. Oh, that's a... I'd have to look at the... And this is a small auxiliary carrier? Yep. Which means that can be done... Given... Yeah. You don't have much auxiliary, small auxiliary carrier doesn't have much of a shield and not many boxes. So, yeah, a number of robots could actually do it. And of course, it takes a minimum of 15 points of damage to kill one of these suckers. And you've got, you got fighters, but according to the description, fighters are the best defense against Star Swarm robots, but simply because there are enough fighters available to counter the number of robots. While a single robot is no match for a starship or even a PF, in swarms, they're very dangerous. This scenario represents the typical defense of the colony planet against the attacking Star Swarm during the middle years of the General War. So, yeah, which makes sense that you're going to have fighters against these little buggers, because there's so many. And the problem comes to being is the number of weapons versus the number of targets. And so that's why fighters are a lot better for that. Even if you have only one weapon per fighter, you're still got 12 weapons versus, a normal CEA will have only what? Okay, the normal CEA is like 135 points damage. Has how many? Maybe 6 to 8 phaser ones and maybe 2 to 4 phaser threes. And then you might have some heavy weapons. And possibly with some drones, The And the thing is, the defensive, when it comes to star swarm, is that there's 10 points, or it takes 15 points per star swarm robot. So these are not like just drones. These take a lot more to kill. So that's why you definitely would want to use the fighters.
What about T-bombs? What about mines?
Well, in theory, you could use T-bombs or mines. But remember one thing, that these are not mindlessly automatons, where they just go right into the planet, so you can easily predict where they're going to go. They're player controlled. And they can do one hex per turn. So if you try to pop out a T-bomb, it can easily do a hit and make sure it doesn't get blown up.
Oh, you could bracket them too, so.
I'm sorry, what was that?
You could probably bracket them too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking, you know, I mean, if you wanted to play that as Zandro, what are your options?
Well, you don't at the moment. Explosion. The closest thing that you could use are the MWPs. The problem with those is that I forget how expensive the MWPs are. Is this the one I want? Yeah, I think it might be this one. There you are. Okay, no. Da-da-da. Cargo pods, module.
Well, actually, you know what? I can see why they wouldn't give this as an Andro scenario, simply because of the lore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, they didn't really have any established planets. They just had their rapid network and their hidden bases. So.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically raided everything else. So it would be highly improbable that they would attack a base, especially a hidden Andro base. So,
yeah, true. They didn't really set up on planets. You know,
they weren't there to colonize.
No,
they were there to exterminate and exterminate.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. I was thinking about Doctor Who. Yes. The little ones over there, hiding behind the computer.
Welcome to VoiceOver. VoiceOver speaks descriptions of items on the screen and can be used.
Yeah, I have a computer behind this computer, which I have a monitor right here, which I use for my backlight.
Did the cat just turn it on?
No, the cat just sat on my keyboard, which activated voice control over. So it's going, hey, you want to activate it? It's like, no, I don't.
So the cat is basically speaking through their butt.
Yeah. Now, if you start talking, I'm in trouble. What? Sorry, I got the other kitty, the larger one. Say hello. Hello. Goodbye. Okay. Yeah, so basically, stop. With the victory conditions, it's warning you to be careful, and that you, as the player, play the fleet player. Can you just let it be? That's there is. That's, oh crap. What'd you do? I can't fix this. So you have to deal with me having a little bit darker complexion.
Oh no.
Anyway, yeah, it's just a warning to you that you can't let the leave the carrier completely defenseless, because if you do, you can lose levels of victory. Even if you kill every single one,
Yeah, they do
actually.
damage to your future capability.
Yeah, so if you do nobody's rent, then it becomes a marginal victory if your carrier's destroyed. And if you only let 10% of the robots land, but you lose your carrier, that becomes a swarm victory. Dang excuse me. Kitty, get off. Thank you. No, get you. This for the moment. Don't mind me, folks. I'm just trying to figure out how bad this looks.
You only look like cartoonishly angry. It's okay. So, continuing on.
Continuing on.
You can fix it in post.
Possibly. Jeez. But anyway, tactics is here's a warning. Don't overrun the swarms. Concentrate your drones, try to attack them from two different directions to pin them with a seeking weapon. After killing half of them, go to point blank range. You might even try to dogfight them. The T-bombs on the carrier are critical in forcing the swarm to turn away, as you mentioned. The carrier must keep wild weasels ready. Consider using dogfight drones to increase your rate of fire, carrying one type 1 or one type 6.
Is it
And
to the individual monsters in the swarm have MCIDs, close in defense system?
Yeah, I'm looking. My guess is no.
Because yeah, that makes it life a lot easier. I didn't see it. That's why I
Yeah.
was asking.
Understood. Yeah. If it's not mentioned, then I'd say no. And the swarm tactics is saying, it doesn't matter that you kill first the fighters or the carrier. When you launch drones, run to gain time to identify them and treat with your phaser fire. Remember, your phasers are 360, so they should work very well. You are faster than most of the opponents, and can control the range. If you get between him and the planet, you win. And one of the play comments was a real bar fight with lots of wild action. One of the more fun scenarios play as There are a lot of units, but you don't require a lot of bookkeeping, which is always, that to me, that's always good. Which means that would be, actually, it might be a good scenario for possibly a con. Say, come on, join in. Have them play maybe one or two fighters. But, you know, just,
we can have the Monster Mash.
Yep.
The Monster Mashup. And basically it's like
send that out, don't I, for the SAB guy.
Yeah.
I forgot, I'm sorry.
Well, the thing is, you have basically Saturday and Sunday, and you're not there Monday, but instead of the captain's game, the frigate captain's game, maybe consider the Monster Mash.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the Monster Mash, because I think that gives...
Have a different monster scenario.
Mm-hmm. I think it gives a lot more ideas and a lot more fun, especially a game like this one, where it's easily you can introduce new players to it. You don't have to know that much about the SFB, really. You can create a quick sheet on how to run a fighter or how to run the swarm. You know, just know how to launch your weapons, move your ship. Here's the turn mode, and that's it. You know, no energy allocation or anything like that.
Well, the other side of it is you could scale it too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, agreed. You could scale these things down. Not this particular scenario necessarily, but some of the other ones. You could scale it down to like almost a oversimplified cadets game version.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you have a person that you're teaching how to play the game, you can teach them using the traditional cadet setup, and then you can say, hey, look, let's try this with a couple monster scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Something
mm-hmm.
different. I don't know. But I think there's very much a difference in approach between a new player and, say, a group of players who have played the game and understand the game.
Right.
The Monster Mash thing would probably be a better thing for the players that know how to play the game versus right, trying to teach a new player, because then when they come into it, are they seeing that as I play monsters all the time, or I play ships versus monsters all the time versus the chess match side of it that is fleet balancing and tournament play and captains, different scenarios, the scenario-driven aspect, but where it's the majority of scenarios are general war scenarios, or basically player on player, not player on monster. Very much a PvP game. I mean, but this would be something that would be very different for mm-hmm. people who are familiar with the game to come in and do that they might not normally do with their groups at home.
Right, right. And the one thing I really like about this scenario for cons, if you get the miniatures, you know, like for fighters, you get a bunch of those and have each person say, okay, that's your fighter. Here's my big map. And you're going to be fighting these monsters, the Star Swarm, which are going to be like little... I'd have to see if they have star swarms in the shapeways. If they do, then you'll actually have them on the other side of the map, which would be really cool. And the great thing about it would be that you can give a person, here's a sheet of paper. This is how you fly this ship. That's it. So it is really simple. The only thing they have to learn when it comes to SFB, obviously, is going is going to be impulse chart. In that, okay, if you're going this speed and we're going through the turn, if you're going this speed, you have you have to move. You move on this impulse. Jeez, cat. You're gonna find out this is gonna be really bad for you. Okay, hold on. I better cut the chase right now. He's trying to lay underneath my computer. He's been doing this lately. I don't know why.
Attention.
Possibly.
Or just
I keep on hearing that until I exit stage left. Okay.
And it could be an ownership thing too. Like, this is my keyboard, not your keyboard.
That's true, but this is something new within the past 2 weeks. He's never done it before. So.
Well, the thing is, you introduced a new cat to the Milu.
So, I know.
That's going to change the dynamics of how they all act.
Agreed. Yeah, don't knock over that pen. I got two pens which are holding up the monitor.
Yeah.
Which is what happened earlier, where the kitten actually knocked the pen out and the whole thing just dropped. So. Anyhow. We'll wrap up.
It was okay.
We'll wrap up there. So, Doug, next to have you by, I will post about the Monster Mash for the upcoming con.
Okay. Well, it's also, maybe it's something we could also run down during a future episode, too, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because the... yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios to choose from.
Oh, agreed. So, agreed.
That would also be very good for teaching new players how to do things without necessarily overwhelming them.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. But thank you for having me on. It's awesome being on with you.
Oh, it's awesome to have you stop by.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, good night. So, we got the... have some technical difficulties. Hopefully they'll be all worked out next week. Hopefully we'll also work out the kitty technical difficulties. What are you doing? I'll probably get this done quicker than later. And talk about a nice little star swarm. Okay. Yeah. There. Got out. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and you're not. Good night.